ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. सो फार् वी हेव् बीन् डिस्कसिङ्ग् दि फोर्थ् चाप्टर् आफ् दि भगवद्गीता विच् इस् काल्ड् ज्ञान योग. ज्ञान मीन्स् the true knowledge about who we really are, atma gnana, ishvara gnana, and what are we? We are also nothing but God. The purpose of this chapter is how to convert our whole life into a sacrifice. This is the most important thing. In this process, the Lord has enumerated so far that as a samples, 12 types of sacrifices, yajnas. Briefly, from the verses 25 to 30, this was what we have been dealing for the last few classes. Remember, these are only samples, but any activity, including, as I mentioned earlier, breathing, lying down, sleeping, looking at somebody, whatever we do, even if we seem not to do anything, anything can be converted into a sacrifice, yajna, provided all these activities are directed towards God with the intention that I want to realize God. Let us briefly recollect what are these 12 samples. First of all, worship of gods, not for expecting entry into heavens, but to realize the truth. Then, knowledge sacrifice, Brahma Yajna. Here, knowledge sacrifice means, I wish to obtain self-knowledge, and this knowledge finally will take me to the reality which is myself. Controlling the senses, then controlling the sense objects, controlling the mind, then material sacrifices. Body, mind, intellect, everything can be used in the service of God, not human beings, in the service of God. But since God doesn't require any service, we have to serve God through the medium of every being in this world, including non-living beings. How can we serve non-living beings? This question may naturally crop up in our minds. The answer is, by not polluting the rivers, by not polluting the mountains, by not unnecessarily cutting down the forests, by keeping the environment pure. And now we know that because of all these foolish activities that we have been doing, slowly we are poisoning our own cells in the form of the lessening of the ozone layer, making the sun into a most dangerous object that is detrimental to our physical as well as mental health. Then the Lord also talks about the sacrifices that can be done through austerities, tapoyagnas. Tapoyagna means any hardship voluntarily undertaken with the exclusive aim of progressing in spiritual life and realizing God is called tapo yajna. Why is it necessary for us to remember this? Because many people perform austerities like demons for the sake of getting more and more involved in the world in the form of power, domination and sense enjoyment, etc. Examples, Bhasmasura, Narakasura, Ravanasura, and so many demons. If an austerity means, first of all, it must be voluntary. Second, it must involve some kind of hardship. Thirdly, the only goal should be to realize God, to love God, to reach God, to become one with God. The next is yoga yagnas, sacrifice, practicing of any of the 8 steps of the yoga as detailed by Patanjali Rishi, that is also can be appropriate means for us to reach our goal, which is God. Next is Swadhyaya Jnana. Swadhyaya means study. Study of the scriptures is the first meaning. Scriptures should be studied only with the exclusive aim of realizing God, not to show scholarship, not to merely improve intellectually, etc. Another meaning of Swadhyaya means Swadhyaya, study of constantly studying one's own mind, study of one's own mind, and with the exclusive purpose of reaching God. Then another time he uses the word Jnana Yajna, that is to say everything belongs to God. It progresses in 3 steps. I belong to God, first step. God belongs to me, second step. And we belong to each other, last step. This is called Jnana Yajna. And some people do pranayama. Pranayama, control of the breath, with the exclusive aim of controlling the mind and dwelling constantly with the idea, soham, I am he. This is true pranayama. Some people also practice this yajna, niyata ahara. Only I will take this food, whether it is tasty or whether it is not tasty, it doesn't really matter, but it should be conducive both to my physical, intellectual, moral and spiritual development. Whoever practices this control of the food, that person is also performing a sacrifice. Then the Lord says, as we discussed earlier, those who are performing or at least sincerely practicing any one of these yogas or in any other form, all of them will be purified by this very practice. Ultimately, they are all going to reach God. No one will be left behind. Now, the essence of all these sacrifices is ultimately to get knowledge. So far we had discussed about these samples and the aim, etc. Naturally, the question that comes, first of all, what is that knowledge? What is the glory of that knowledge? What is the fruit of that knowledge? And how to attain that knowledge? These are anuprashna. Anuprashna means having heard about something, obtaining, naturally it comes. Supposing somebody tells you that there is a wonderful thing and it's available there. Now, the question comes, what is this wonderful thing? What do I gain by it? And where do I get it? How to go about it? This point we are going to discuss now. The Lord himself, even though it was a mute question in the mind of Arjuna, Arjuna did not ask, but the Guru, here always let us remember, Arjuna was the disciple and Krishna is the Guru. That is their relationship now. Formerly, what was their relationship? They were friends. Now, the roles have changed. As a Guru, the Lord anticipated this question which will naturally arise in any one of our minds, and he himself is asking. When we look at our scriptures, any scriptures, always it is in the form of a dialogue. Upanishads are in the form of dialogue. Then Brahma Sutras is also in the form of dialogue. Bhagavad Gita is also a dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. And who is Krishna? True Guru or God in the form of Sadguru. And who is the disciple? Who is Arjuna? Every sincere spiritual aspirant is an Arjuna. Arjuna is a representation. When the disciple is ready, the Guru also will be absolutely ready. That is the point we have to keep in mind. So the Lord, in this 34th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, anticipating the possible doubts that may come. What is the doubt? How to progress in spiritual life? How to get that jnana? The purpose of all sacrifices is to obtain knowledge, self-knowledge, knowledge of the truth, and for that naturally it comes. What is the nature of that knowledge? What do I get out of it, etc.? Anticipating, the Lord is uttering these beautiful words. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha. Tadvidhi, tat means knowledge, tat jnanam. The jnanam towards which everybody is traveling in the pathways of different sacrifices. What is that knowledge? Tadvidhi, you have to know, because there is a general rule among us. Unless we know that there is something worthy, the quest for asking where is that knowledge, where can I get it, and more importantly, what can I derive from that knowledge? Earlier, I have mentioned that whenever we study a scripture, four questions come to our mind. These are called anubandhas. What is the goal? What do I get out of the goal? And who is the person who can tell us the goal? And who is the person who can obtain it? What is the lakshya? What is the means? Who is the person who can tell us? And who is the person who is fit? Because supposing a person wants to be a painter. He is blind. Can he paint? Not possible. Suppose somebody is deaf, tone deaf. Could he be a musician? It is impossible. For every quest, there must be some fitness, yogyata, adhikari, prayojana, vishaya, and sambandha. This is what the Lord is telling. Tadvidhi. You know that knowledge. Obtain that knowledge. Know that knowledge by prostration, by questioning, and by service. And from whom? Those people who are called wise people. And who are the wise people? Those who have realized the truth. And if you do fulfill certain conditions, then they will be pleased with you. And then that knowledge will flow from them automatically. A beautiful psychological law is, if the disciple is not ready, even if he goes to a wise teacher, the inspiration will not come. Simple example, you want to talk something in which you are interested, but your listeners are not at all interested, indifferent. Do you feel enthusiasm to talk about it? If you can sing beautifully and all your audience is donkeys, would you feel like singing? Not possible. To impart something, you must get the appropriate adhikaris, yogyata, purushas. Once a person is ready, will he get knowledge? Not immediately. There is a procedure. When we examine Sri Ramakrishna's life, we can see that first of all, he obtained everything by direct prayer to God. It was a dialogue between Divine Mother and the Sri Ramakrishna. But we don't have that red line to the Divine Mother. So we have to go to the blue line, which is called Guru. Tadvithi, what should you do? Pranipatena, by prostration. Now, prostration means not frustration. Some people, they fall down because they lost all enthusiasm. Prostration are of two types are there. Normally, we do like this, is also prostration. But ashtanga, pranama means ashtanga. Eight limbs of the body must be completely fall at the feet of whom we are bending. Whether it is God or Guru, they are standing on the same pedestal. Now by that, what it means is my body, my mind, and my speech. My sthula sharira, sukshma sharira, and karana sharira. I surrender myself to you. Then only the reception will be very good. Complete fitness will come. Pranipatena. Pranipatena means what? We can give an example. Suppose there is water in a high place. And what is the nature of the water? It always flows to the lower level. This pranipata is to be able to receive. The guru is ever ready to bestow. On his part, the grace of God is always blowing. But whether we can receive it, and how much we can receive it, and whether we are ready to receive it, and after receiving, whether we are ready to put our boat, unfurling the sails, continue our travel. Pranipata means prostration. Prostration means the ability to receive. Earlier, we have discussed the point, it is worth reminding ourselves, 7 steps, accepting I have a problem, 2nd, that I have no solution, 3rd, I require somebody's help, 4th, find out that somebody, 5th, you prostrate in front of that person, receive that remedy for my malady, and 6th, put it into practice, and lastly, you will enjoy whatever he has given. While discussing the 2nd chapter, beginning itself, the Lord never opened his mouth until Arjuna had gone through all the 7 steps, and then, how do we know? He said, Sishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prapannam. That word Prapanna, Ramanujacharya had propagated Prapanna Yoga, complete Sharanagati. Girish Chandra Ghosh had practiced. What about the other disciples? Did they practice? Each and every one of them had completely surrendered themselves to Sri Ramakrishna. Not one is left out. Swami Vivekananda, Narendranath, took a little bit of time, but ultimately he only said, Tasmat Tvameva Sharanam Mama Dinabandhu. Not once. He repeats it 4 times at least. And he knows what he is talking about. This is called Pranipata. Then the guru becomes very pleased. What is the next thing? Then you have to see Pariprashna. You have to ask. Pariprashna means appropriate questions, not silly questions. When somebody asked me, when I was in a hurry to get up and go away, Swamiji, a small simple question. I said, okay, it must be quick simple question. He said, how do I attain Nirvikalpa Samadhi? Of course, you know, I said, come some other time. Now I want to enter into Sabhojana Samadhi. I am hungry. I am going to have food. So, it must be, Prashna should be appropriate. And he must be conscious. This is the purpose for which I have come here. Only with regard to that subject matter, the person should question directly, and meaning he should be aware what he is questioning, and he should be seeking the answer to that question. Irrelevant questions are not answered, and he must have complete faith. This person knows, and he can give me the correct answer. That faith should be there. With all these qualities fulfilled, he should ask a true teacher. Then he also must be served, because even the guru also, it is a condition, guru must be served. We see in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, whenever he used to go to some devotee's places, they did not know the tradition. When a sadhu comes, they must offer something. They did not offer. That is why Sri Ramakrishna himself opened his mouth and said, whenever I come to you, give me at least some water. Of course, there are some foolish fellows. They just give only water and nothing but water. But in Bengali, there is a beautiful expression. It is called Jalpan. Jalpana means, doesn't mean only just I will give you a little water. It means the water is accompanied, always preceded by something very solid. First solid, then only liquid. But of course, Jalpan nowadays also means many things. One is coffee pana, chai pana, so many other panas are there. We do not mean that something he must serve the guru in order to indicate that I will not leave you until you are gracious enough to give me what I am after. And if these 3 conditions, prostration means complete the quality to receive what the guru is going to give, appropriate questions so that the guru should know what this person is really seeking, and lastly, he must please that person with seva. And any type of seva and any amount of seva is not going to get rid of our debt to the guru, really speaking. But he is not expecting everything. He only expecting, like a mother expects a child. Interestingly, when a mother cooks beautiful, tasty food to the child must serve the mother, means the child must please the mother. What is the best way that the mother is pleased? If the child happily gulps down and asks for more, then only the mother will be pleased. But different people have to serve the master. Service means here pleasing the divine Lord through service of the guru or the teacher. Then who are the people? Tattvadarshinaha Jnaninaha. Two epithets are given. They are Tattvadarshi means they directly experienced the direct darshan of the truth. That is, they have become one with Brahman. Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. The knowers of Brahman become none other than Brahman. They are called Jnanis. Jnani means here Atma Jnana. Jnani means here not Shastra Jnana, but Vijnana. Vijnana means they not only know the scriptures, but also they have directly experienced. About these Sadgurus, Tattva Darshana, Tattva means truth. Three qualifications are mentioned in our scriptures. They must be Shrotriyas. They must know thoroughly the inner meaning, import of the scriptures, and they must have realized. Avrijinaha, their life must be completely sinless. That means their life should be exemplary life. And when we look at Sri Ramakrishna, we see that he led an exemplary life, even though it was not necessary for him. I'll give you an example. One day, Sri Ramakrishna went to the temple, and before ascending the steps at Dakshineswar, he took off his shoes as a sign of reverence for the Divine Mother. Nowadays, you know, some churches and other places, they can enter into the church along with chapels and other things. In my opinion, that's not a very good action, because that breeds a kind of what is called indifference, not such a respectful feeling. That's why we always leave our chapels in two places. Have you noticed? Kitchen and temple. When we meet elderly people also, devotees or sadhus, we leave our chapel aside. That is a mark of respect for the higher people. Then only we will be able to receive what they give. Tattva darshinaha, those who know the truth through direct experience. Atma jnanis, they are called atma jnanis. They are also called adhikarika purushas. Even among the realized souls, Sri Ramakrishna makes difference. Those who know the truth, but they are not authorized by God. But there are some people whom he chooses, because the body and mind, they are very appropriate, body, mind, and they are able to effectively communicate the knowledge to the would-be spiritual aspirants. This is called avrijinaha. They must lead a perfect life. Then, akama hataha. Hataha means one who is destroyed. Destroyed by kama. Kama means what? Motivation. If I teach this one, what do I gain? Why this distinction is made? After all, a person who realizes God, automatically he will never be able to lead a sinful life. He can only lead a pure life, unsullied life, perfect life. But then, why is it said? And of course, such a person, do you think, what can you give? A person who realized God, what other object would be equivalent to God? They are deriving the highest bliss from God. Do you think that they care for anything that we value? Then the answer is, there are some people, they know the truth, they sincerely have some experience, not the final experience, and they have not experienced the final truth, because there is some problem. There may be some what is called unspiritual samskara in them, but they also can teach others. Similarly, they should not have any motivation. Not only they should not expect any material things. Even this disciple, he is my disciple, he should listen only to me, he should not go to any other guru, and he should not take any other path. Now, you reflect upon the life of Sri Ramakrishna, there was Bhairavi Brahmani, and was she perfect? Not perfect. But she became the guru of Sri Ramakrishna because what he wanted to learn, she knew exactly what he had to learn. Even though she was imperfect, she was a Sadguru so far as that much is concerned. In other words, if I am traveling, I don't know the next step, and my distance is Gamya, Lakshya is very far away, I don't need a person who knows from my place to the goal I want to reach. Any person who knows the next step is good enough for me. Then when I reach the next step, somebody who knows the next step, he will come like that. In fact, that's what happens life after life. Last life, you needed only one step, somebody guided. This life, you needed another step, somebody will guide you. Bahunam janmanam ante gnanavan mam prapadyate. Slowly a person proves at every stage, if we are really sincere, endowed with Shraddha, God will provide inevitably, invariably, a guidance which we need, appropriate guidance. If I have to learn 2 plus 2, I don't need Einstein. I know even the next class, another student, who knows, he could not be more than enough guidance for me. Know that by prostration, by questioning, appropriate questioning, and by service, and then the wise people, jnanis, who have realized the truth, will instruct you in that knowledge. Then comes the result of the true knowledge. Okay, I am going to learn this knowledge from the teachers. That's absolutely fine. What is the result of obtaining this wonderful jnanam or knowledge? The Lord is making it crystal clear. Yes, jnatva na punar moham evam yasyasi pandava ena bhutani aseshena drakshyasi atmani atho mayi. O Pandava, knowing which, you shall not again get deluded like this. And by that, you shall see, by that knowledge, you shall see all beings first in yourself and afterwards in me. This is the real fruit of knowledge. What is this? Is jnatva, having obtained this knowledge. Any other type of knowledge is called sublatable knowledge. You get something and you think that is the final truth. Then somebody will come, discover something. All scientific knowledge is what? Sublatable knowledge, including Newtonian mathematics and all that, is being sublated now. Now different types of mathematics is coming, scientific knowledge. Any knowledge in this world of non-self, anatma, is always sublatable. It will never reach the end because knowledge is infinite. That means what? You go, still there is much, much, much more is there. But there is one knowledge which will never be sublated. That is the complete knowledge, purna jnanam, purnamadaha, purnamidam, purnat, purnamudachyate. And once a person has got any worldly knowledge, there is a likelihood he will forget it. What is that? For example, if I have some knowledge, during waking state, I may remember it. Not always even then. During dream state, I may have completely forget it. During deep sleep state, that knowledge doesn't exist at all. And again, next morning, I have to remember. Every day, I have to remember. But if a person obtains the knowledge of Atman, whether we are in the waking state, dreamless state, I always stand as a witness, not identifying with these three states. Every human being, every living being goes through these three states. And these three states are changing states. That is why the knowledge about those three states are also changing knowledge. But When a person goes through these three states, one part of his ahankara, I, becomes identified. I am the waker, I am the dreamer, I am the sleeper. But when he separates, I am not the waker, I am the sakshi, atman. I am not the dreamer, but this body, mind is going through dream state. I am not the sleeper, it is this body, mind which is going through this state. I am a constant, unchanging, incessant witness sakshi of all these three states. There is nothing called forgetfulness. So, when a person identifies himself with the mind, and remembering and forgetting are the effects of the mind, characteristics of the mind. The Atman means pure consciousness. There is nothing to remember, there is nothing to forget, because it is the one infinite eternal truth. That is what is saying. Having obtained, anyone who obtains this knowledge of the Atman, he will never again go through moha. This is the second characteristic. Moha means delusion. Delusion means identifying ourselves. When we identify with the body, bodily desires will come and trouble us. When we identify with the mind, mental problems come and we identify with them. We go up and down. For example, if someone praises me, I feel elated. When somebody criticizes me, I feel depressed. But when I identify myself with the Atman, there is no one to praise me, no one to blame me, because I am the Shuddham Apahapavittham. Moha means always it springs from what is called ignorance. Vishada. Moha comes from ignorance. And unhappiness, shoka, and comes always from moha. Vishada, shoka, suffering, unhappiness, miseries, all these spring from, what is the mother? Moha. Mistaking the untruth for truth. Mistaking this world for reality. This is the one. First of all, permanently you will be freed from ignorance. Then there would be no delusion. Then there would be no unhappiness. Always remember that. Then, whenever you look, even if you are alive after this experience, whenever you look at anything, you don't consider it as something different, something second. You will say, this is me with a name and form. There is nobody who is separate from me. I am going to give some examples. One day, Sri Ramakrishna, he was smoking, and Narendranath was there. Who was Sri Ramakrishna? The God realized saint. Who was Narendra? An earnest student. And Narendra knows better than any one of us. How pure was the, even the body of Sri Ramakrishna. So Sri Ramakrishna, as you recollect, if at all you recollect, he was smoking, and then he put that one in the mouth of Narendra. Narendra was taken aback. No, I can't touch it. Because after Narendra smokes, again Sri Ramakrishna will smoke. That means the pipe which has been touched by the mouth of Narendra will again be touched by Ramakrishna. Narendra was hesitating because he knew more than anybody else how pure Sri Ramakrishna was. Ramakrishna said, Durshala, even now so much of ignorance. Is there any difference between you and me? I am you and you are me. From which point of view? Not from the body point of view. Not from the mind point of view, from the Atman point of view. That's what he is telling. Then I recollect the story of Namadeva. Once Namadeva went on a pilgrimage to Kashi. There is a tradition, whoever visits Kashi Vishwanatha must bring some Ganges water, travel to Rameshwaram, meaning that on the way you have to visit all the other holy places. That is the idea. And vice versa, those who visit Rameshwaram should take some water and do bathing ceremony to Kashi Vishwanatha. So that people from here visit so many places, reach Kashi, and those who start from that side, they visit other places, visit Rameshwaram. Namadeva went and then he brought some water along with so many other people. He reached Rameshwara temple, all that he need to do is enter into the doorway. Then the Lord Shiva was testing him. He assumed the form of a donkey, and the donkey was dying of thirst. And Namadeva saw it. Every pilgrim saw the donkey. They just turned their faces away and straight hurried so that they can pour water on the stone of Shiva. But what was Namadeva seeing? The Lord, this is a living Shiva, moving Shiva. Where can I do better service? So straight he took that water, in spite of everybody trying to prevent him, he just put the water in the mouth of the donkey. Now what is the idea? He was not feeding the, was supplying water to the donkey. He was seeing what? Shiva himself, living Shiva. Shiva Gnane, Jiva Shiva. Every living creature is a Jiva, not only human beings. Of course, when priority comes, first priority comes to human beings. As we know, some cow protector Brahmins had visited Swami Vivekananda and they said, Gosheva, we are all doing, will you contribute something? Swamiji said, first of all, I will serve the living human beings. If there is anything left out, then I will give it to you. And they said, our scriptures tell that cows are the mothers of all of us. Gomata. Then Swamiji wryly remarked, who else can give birth excepting a cow to this kind of intelligent people? Swamiji is not deriding the cows. He was telling, for all the creatures, human beings are the greatest. First, look after the welfare of the human beings. Then, anything else will come. This is the idea. Then, Pavahari Baba. We all know the incident. One day, a dog entered into his hut, took some bread, and it was running away. What did Pavahari Baba do? He snatched a pot of butter, and he ran after the dog. Oh, Rama, that piece of bread is very hard. There is likelihood that you will become a Vedanti. Let me put some butter so that you will enjoy. He is seeing Rama in that animal. That is not animal. For us it is a animal. For us it is a dog. For him it is a god. It is a problem of dyslectic. We are all dyslectic people. Another instance is, we all know, a thief once entered, and then Pavahari Baba woke up and the thief ran away and he was bundling some utensils. Pavahari Baba took up the bundle, ran after him and said, Lord, please pardon me for interrupting your work. That thief was not a thief. For us, he was a thief. For him, he was God himself. That means the whole world belongs to God. God in one form is taking his own things in another form. Like a family, you know. Suppose there is some food. The father comes and takes something and goes away. Then the brother comes and takes something. Then the child comes and takes something. Then the grandson comes and... Will anybody object? Because the whole thing belongs to the family. A realized soul looks upon this whole world as a spiritual family. Vasudhaiva kutumbakam mata me Parvati Devi, Pita Devo, Maheshwaraha, Bandhavaha, Shivabhaktascha, Vasudhaiva, Kutumbakam. So the point is, Shivabhakta doesn't mean devotee of Shiva. Shivabhakta means devotee of God. Shiva is the name for God. Shiva Gnane means not only Shiva. It's looking upon anything, everything as God. Holy Mother, how did she look upon anybody in this world? As divine or non-divine. Her commandments we must always remember, especially two commandments. You have a mother, I am your mother. You are my child, live like my child. These are the commandments we have to put it into practice every day if we want to realize God. So the Lord is telling, if you prostrate before such great saints who have realized God, and he is a Shrotriya, Akamahata, Avrijinaha. He is sinless, he is a realized soul, and his motive is only to help you. There is no selfishness involved. Then he will grant you, he will teach you this knowledge which he knows to be effective because he himself experienced it, and then all your delusion born of ignorance will get destroyed, and you will never again forget who you are. And not only that, you learn to look upon everything as Brahman himself. That is why our Mahavakyas teach us first that everything is consciousness, then you are also none other than that pure consciousness. Then the Guru comes and tells us Tattvamasi. The disciple through effort realizes Aham Brahmasmi, but it should also extend Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. This is the what is called result of jnana. You become Mukta Purusha. That is the most important thing we have to understand. Then, what is the glory of this Mahima? Says, Apichedasi Papebhyah Sarvebhyah Papakrittamah Sarvam Jnana Plave Naiva Vrijinam Santarishasi. Even if a person is the most sinful of all sinners, if you are the worst of the sinners, there is no sin which you have left undone. Sarvam Jnana Plave Naiva Vrijinam Santarishasi. Even if one is the most sinful of all sinners, one shall yet cross over the ocean of sin by the raft of self-knowledge alone. When a person realizes, I am the Atman, he realizes everything is nothing but Atman. How does this happen? We always give one beautiful example. Supposing you go to bed, you have a dream. In that dream, you told lies, you killed people, you cheated people, you threw what is called nuclear bomb on the everybody and destroyed the whole world. How do you feel at that time? So long as you are in the dream, you are the worst of the sinners. Because who is the worst of the sinners? There are three types of sinners are there. Three types of sin. One type of first sin is those who hurt a few other individuals is called the lowest type of sinner. Higher than that is a person who cheats a large number of people and who kills large number of people, who brings misery to large number of people, that person is the greatest. For example, if somebody releases a germ which has been known, this biological warfare is the greatest danger that lies. Many countries are developing these germs, which there is a virus breakout in China now. Problem is, one who does a little bit of harm is the lowest type of sinner. One who does more harm to other people is the, as far as we know, the higher type of sinner. But there is a third type of sin, which is the highest type of sin. This is called prajna aparadha. That is not to know who we are, who I am, one who is bereft of atmajnana. They are called asuras. Isavasya Upanishad, third mantra is telling us, asuriya nama te lokaha andhena tamasavrutaha tam te pretya avigacchante ekecha atmano jana. The worst type of sin is not to make an effort to know who we are. Every scripture is again and again pointing. You obtain the greatest grace of God by obtaining a human birth and the opportunity to progress in spiritual life and by realizing God and the appropriate favorable environment, including the company of the what is called good people, holy people, spiritual people. And there will not be a foolish fellow. Kon vasti atra mudhatma. Vivek Chudamani, Shankaracharya says, having obtained these three things, he just wastes his human life. That is the third kind of sin. Now, coming back that example, in the dream, you have done so many things and you are feeling terribly miserable. Then you take refuge in a Sadguru, because the paschattapa, regret, terrible regret. I have been so sinful. Only a Sadguru can save me. And you take refuge, pranipatena, pariprashnena, etc. You do it. And then the Guru comes. He finds only one way to immediately give you that jnana. What does he do? He gives a terrible big slap. As soon as he slaps you in your dream, what happens to you? You wake up. What happens? Your sin has disappeared. The sinful world has disappeared. Your past life disappeared. Your Sadguru disappeared. I am that pure person. I have not done anything. I have nothing to regret. All the ajnana that we do, it's not real. This is a wonderful, important point. As long as we are in this dream, but this waking state is a real state, we sometimes do good things, bad things, and we are happy, we are unhappy, we are aspiring for enjoyment here, trying to escape from misery here, and trying to obtain higher worlds. All these are nothing but very sinful actions. But the moment we wake up, nothing else exists. There is nobody else excepting the Divine Lord, the Atman, pure, one, infinite, eternal, ever abiding, Sat Chit Ananda Swarupa. Then your mind itself will not be there to regret also. Even if you have a mind, you know that it is all Leela, Divine Mother's drama. Once Girish Chandra Ghosh not only wrote a play, he was enacting the play as a drunkard husband and beating his wife also black and blue. Fortunately for him, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar happened to be one of the audience, and the acting was so realistic, he took off his shoe, threw it on the stage. Girish Chandra Ghosh received it with the greatest joy in the world, bowed down and said, "This is the greatest reward I received in my whole life, because I acted in such a way, Vidyasagar forgot, this is a drama, this is real." And that is what happens. The Leela is so real, but we forget. Now it is not Leela. It is misery, dukkha. But when we realize Divine Lord in the form of the script writer, director, actors, actresses, audience, appreciators, critics, the whole thing is nothing but Sri Ranganatha, then everything becomes, even killing becomes what? A divine Leela. With more gesture, you go on killing everybody, because there is ayenam veti hantaram, eschainam manyatehatam, ubhautavna vijanito, nayam hanti, nahanyate. In your dream, you may think you are killing somebody, or someone is killing you, but when you wake up, you are your own killer, you are your own killed. And you wake up and say, "I killed myself." You wake up and say, I killed myself, and I am very happy that I was killed. What was killed? Dream was killed. This is called Leela. Then go back and remember, that is called Leela. Even if one is the worst sin, there is no real sin. Swami Vivekananda says, there is no sinner. There is ignorance, there is mistake. Man's nature is not sinful. He is not telling there is no sin. He was telling, we commit all wrong things, first of all, because of ignorance. Secondly, we think we are doing something. Somebody is doing something to us. It is all real. No, nothing is real. It is all play and acting. Once you wake up from this, go back to from the drama cinema, then you know you enjoyed it. And if it is so good, then you tell your friends also, come back again for a second show. Sarvam manaplave naiva vrijanam santarishyasi. By obtaining this knowledge, first of all, you will feel, you will know that I have not committed any sin. I am the purest of the persons, because there is nobody else other than me. Second, plava means a boat, a raft, which takes me across a body of water. Sarvam, all, everything in this world, the whole world. You go to the other shore, originam, sarvam originam, all the sins that you thought you have committed, really you have not committed, because sin can be committed only towards the other people. You were never ignorant. You thought you were ignorant. You were never a body. You thought you were a body. You thought you were a mind. You were never a mind. You are always the same eternal Atman. When you wake up, what happens? Vrijinam santarishyasi. That feeling that I am a sinner, feeling that I committed sin, that mind itself will realize I am pure Atman. With that knowledge, you wake up to the true knowledge. There is no other than me. There is no sinner. There is no sin. There is no one towards whom I have committed this sin. And that knowledge alone can remove it. Knowledge can only remove ignorance. Ignorance produces delusion. That, what is delusion? Everything is real. And that feeling everything is real creates what we call all tritapa, three types of miseries. When the delusion is gone, we get up and realize there is no misery at all. I am pure. And then the ignorance is destroyed by only knowledge. And what is that knowledge? I am the one Advaita, Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Brahma Iva, Aham, Sarvam, Kalvidam, Brahma. This is the glory of knowledge. And the rest is explanation. Therefore, O Arjuna, you try to obtain that knowledge through prostration and through service and through appropriate question, etc. And the rest is a glory of the knowledge. This is the goal of life. Advaita Gnan, Anchale Bende, Jai Iccha, Tai Koro. Obtaining the knowledge of Advaita, whatever you want, you can do. That becomes only Leela. You will become a Bhavamukhi. You remain in between Nitya and Leela, the eternal and the temporal, the Nitya and the Leela. And you will enjoy so long as you are alive. And after that, of course, body will fall down and you remain as the pure Paramatma. The rest of the verses we will discuss in our next class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum.